Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Back at chapter 1, stand when you find your place in the Word of God. We're going to read a few verses here, and then I'm thankful how the Lord confirms things in your heart. Amen. And the Bible says this, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And see, it's important if you're going to have a true burden that makes a difference that you see some things. The Bible teaches us that without a vision, the people perish. And the Bible didn't say that Habakkuk just was burdened, but the Bible says that the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, he saw it. O Lord, in verse number 2, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And boy, I tell you, Habakkuk is he's in a tough place here. He's kind of having it out with the Lord, if you will. But in verse number 5, the Lord responds to him, and here's what the Bible said. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I want to preach for just a few minutes, if the Lord would help me, and try to encourage your heart on this thought, the work behind the worry. The work behind the worry. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in church. Thank you, God, for this wonderful place and this pastor. God, I pray that you would help us now, God, to help your people. God, I pray for that one that may be here. They don't know yet. They've never been saved by the grace of God. Lord, would you deal distinctly and specifically in their heart, and for what's accomplished today, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Now here in the passage of Scripture that I've read to you, we understand that the heart of Habakkuk is troubled, if you will. He's struggling. He's having issues within, and he's looking at what's going on, and in his heart, he cries out to God, and he basically charges God with doing wrongfully. That's what he's talking here to the Lord about. And we understand and we know the truth behind the reality that God does no wrong. Amen. And in God's working and in his way, there is no wickedness. And we realize that. But the reality is this morning that each of us struggle at times with God's way and God's work and how God does things. And that's what Habakkuk is dealing with. The name Habakkuk simply means to embrace, or one who embraces. And no doubt we find when we look through this book a man who learned to embrace the ways and the working of God, not because he understood them, not because they made sense, but because he learned that the just shall live by faith. Amen. And Mr. Habakkuk was a man that he understood that if he was going to enjoy being a Christian, that it wasn't about understanding what God was doing, but it was trusting God with God's plan. And Mr. Habakkuk is an interesting fella. He's an interesting prophet in the Bible. He's a man that speaks to God on behalf of the people. And when you look through a lot of the prophets, you'll understand that most of them, they would speak to the people on behalf of God. But God is, but Habakkuk is speaking to God on behalf of the people. He's an interesting guy in your Bible. He's a very unique prophet, if you will. And we understand in chapter number 2 that the central verse of Habakkuk is in verse number 4, 4 of chapter 2 where the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And we understand that that theme, it runs throughout all of the New Testament, that the just shall live by faith. If you're going to enjoy being a Christian, you're going to have to enjoy living by faith and learning to live by faith. Amen. And can I just say to you this morning that living by faith is not just believing that God is able, but it's just believing in God. Amen. Can I say I believe God is able to do certain things, but there's times He don't do them. Amen. I believe that God's able to move the mountain, but there's times that He don't move the mountain. I know that God is able to allow the flower to bloom in the valley, but sometimes the flowers don't bloom. I believe God's able to heal the sick, but sometimes He don't heal the sick. And so trusting God and walking by faith is not just believing that He's able to do something as much as it is believing in who He is, the God of heaven. And so we understand Habakkuk is the story of a man who moves from wrestling to worship. He moves from fear to faith. He moves from complaint to confidence. The book of Habakkuk, it opens not with triumph, but with much and many troubles. Not with a shout of victory, but with a sigh of vexation. The prophet is standing on the mountain, can I say, and he's looking down into a valley of confusion. He lives in a day of political upheaval and national uncertainty and social injustice and spiritual decline. There were political problems in the palace. There were judicial problems in the courts. There were moral problems in the streets. There were spiritual problems in the sanctuary. Yet for Habakkuk, all of this didn't just form a national crisis, but it became a personal conflict for Habakkuk. This became a personal situation for Habakkuk. This became personal in his life. When the world crumbled around him, the question started within him. Habakkuk's burden was not just about society's decay, but it was about his own dismay. How to reconcile what he knew of God with what he saw in life. And boy, that's a tough place to live as a Christian. To reconcile what you believe about God with what you see in the world that you are living in. That's a tough place to be in, because just like Habakkuk, we can look around at all of our troubles and all of our trials and all of our circumstances and we say, oh yes, I believe God, but what about all of this stuff that's happening to me and in me? So that's where many of us live. We live between the theology that we profess and the tragedy that we experience. Do y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? We live between what we believe about God, but then about how we feel about our circumstances. That makes sense? Whoa, I know what I believe about God, but I'm having a hard time when I see the circumstance that I find myself in, trusting God. So I want to preach on that thought for just a minute. Now we understand, according to our text this morning, we understand very clearly, y'all, that God is working while Habakkuk is worrying. That God, aren't you thankful for that this morning? Aren't you glad in the midst of a time where we don't have faith, where we're not trusting in Him, but we're worried and we're fretting and we're upset and we're talking to God about how He's abandoned us and forsaken us. And when we look back on those times, we think, how in the world did I ever get to that place? How in the world did I ever act that way? All the while God was still working in the midst of all of that. So I see some things about this work that I want to give you and just encourage you this morning with that thought. The work behind the worry. God is working in your situation. You say, preacher, this morning, I don't understand how God is going to make a way out of this mess. There's a work behind your worry. I see a few things. First, I want to show you that it's a sovereign work. This work in this passage is a sovereign work. Aren't you thankful for that? We see the pronouncement of His rule. The Bible says that the Lord says, I will work a work.
But he didn't just say, I will work a work, but he says to Habakkuk, I will work a work in what? Your day. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means that the Lord understood the extent of the situation, but he also understood that it was personal to Habakkuk. And can I say to you this morning, the Lord knows how close the situation is that's got you all tore up and out of frame. He knows it's personal to you this morning. And his pronouncement of his rule, it don't matter that you're worrying. It don't matter that you're fretting. It don't matter that you don't trust God like you should. It don't matter that you're in disarray and dismay. God said, I'm going to work a work. I will work a work. Your day. It means it's for you. We understand this is not Babylon's voice. This is not Judah's voice. It's not man's voice. It's God's voice. This is a sovereign work. I'm thankful that I'm in a place this morning that I can mention the sovereignty of God because I believe in it this morning. I believe just like we sat over here and we watched Miss Madeline get married. Hey, listen, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Yeah, brother, it's a hard thing to see you, baby. I told Amanda this. I said, it would be, I'd be all to pieces if my dog said she's leaving. I mean, I'd be all to pieces if my dog came to me and said, all right, I've met me a boy and I'm leaving. I can't imagine your daughter. I mean, I can't. Can't imagine that. But it's a sovereign work. God behind the scenes working the pronouncement of his rule. But then I see the perspective of his reign. See, Habakkuk, all he saw was chaos. You ever been there? All he saw was chaos. But see, what God saw was a canvas. See, Habakkuk looked out. I'm talking about the perspective of his reign. Habakkuk looked out, and all he saw was a mess. You ever been there in life? You turn around, and you look everywhere around you, and it's a mess. And in all of that, God sees a canvas. You say, that don't make any sense to me. It don't make any sense to me either. But it's true. The perspective of his reign, but then the priority of his rights. Do you know God's got rights that me and you don't have? Because this is a sovereign work. The priority of his rights. Isaiah teaches us this very simply, that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're far above finding out. You say, preacher, this morning I don't understand what God is doing. That's normal. You say, preacher, it don't make any sense to me. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not only is this a sovereign work, we see the pronouncement of his rule, the perspective of his reign, the priority of his rights, but I love this, it's a secret work. The work that God wants to do for you in the midst of chaos, the canvas that he wants to weave out of your situation of dismay is a secret work. We see the preparation that is unseen. God is already ready. While Habakkuk is complaining about everything, God is working. He's already working. Habakkuk ain't got a clue. He don't know what in the world's going on. It looks like God has forsaken. It looks like God has said evil is okay. It looks like God has said, all right then, I tell you what, I'm just going to take my hands off and I'm not in control anymore. It seems like a mess that God has created according to Habakkuk's complaint. But while Habakkuk is laid up looking at the stars and telling God about how he's messed up, about how God has done wrong, God's over here working. There's a canvas that I'm making. He was already dealing with the Chaldeans. The preparation that is unseen. You can't see all that God's doing in your life. You can't. You say, preacher, this morning you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand the circumstances that have come. I've tried to be a good Christian. We all know that we're not good Christians, but we all do try. At least we should. Y'all know what I'm saying. We try to be a good Christian. We try to do what's right. We try to go to church. We try to be faithful. We try to serve. And we really, most of us, if you're in here this morning, you're probably trying pretty hard. And we're all a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners. We all deserve hell. We all didn't deserve the grace of God. But thank God that we're saved by the grace grace of God. Thank God that we know the Lord and the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. But if we were to just be real about it, can I say to you that sometimes we just, there's no way of seeing what He's doing. That's the design. Quit worrying about trying to see what God's doing. And quit worrying about whether or not He's going to do, and just trust in who He is. God, I believe You because You're God. Not because I'm waiting on the mountain to be moved. Not because I'm waiting for the lily to bloom in the valley. Not because I want You to heal my mother or my father or my daughter or my son. I just believe You because You're God. I'm going to walk by faith because You are God. The preparation is unseen. But then the person that is uncomfortable, that's you. That's an uncomfortable place to be, ain't it? It's kind of like we went, where's my brother at that ran that race last night? Where's he at? I see my sister. He had to leave. He probably was sore. He had to go stretch or something. Me and Miss Amanda, we went over to that little park in Dobson. And can I just say that if y'all are going to have an event down here in Dobson, can y'all find somebody that can sing if you're going to have music? We ain't in Dobson, are we? We're close. I just want y'all to know that 10 minutes or so from here was some awful music last night. My Atlantis. Brother Tim, see if I let you sing next year. I promise you'd be better. I don't know how you can sing or if you can sing, but I promise you'd be better. We went down that little park. I don't know the name of it, Riverwalk or something. And what's the name of it? Fisher River. There wasn't no fishers. It was just a river. Anyway, we went down that little park last night. Me and Miss Amanda's been on a little program. We've been trying to get in shape. And we spend too much time sitting. And so we went down that little park and get a walk. And they had a sign that said, we're having a 5K at 7:30. I said, well, let's just come down here and run that thing. And so we did. And you want to know what? If you ask Miss Amanda, if you want to ask her, she'll tell you about the person that's uncomfortable. Now, it wasn't comfortable, was it? It'd been way better to have laid in that nice king-size bed and looked at our phones and goofed off. But there's a person that was uncomfortable. And through that uncomfortability, if that's even a word, there's something good that can come out of it. That make sense? You ain't never going to be what God wants you to be if you ain't willing to be put somewhere that's uncomfortable. You have got to understand that being uncomfortable is where and how you grow. It's the only way. It's the only way. The person that is uncomfortable, Habakkuk said, I'm uncomfortable about this, God. I'm uncomfortable about this, but then there's the purpose that is unchanging. The purpose that is unchanging. Though His work is hidden, never forget this. Though His work is hidden, and it is, His plan is holy, and here's why, because He's holy. Nothing God can do can result in anything but right and holiness. Nothing. So whatever He's doing in your life, whatever He's doing for you and through you, through the unseen hand of God and through the secret work of God, the end result will be holy, and because He is holy. It's a secret work. But then, not only is it a secret work this morning, it's a surprising work. You don't know what He said? He said, this work that I'm going to do in your day, He said, you ain't going to believe it. Even if it was told you, you ain't even going to believe it. I see the prediction of the unbelievable. God tells Habakkuk, you will not believe it though it be told you. The prophet expected revival, but instead God, He announced that there was going to be some judgment. The Lord Himself declares that His plan will stagger the human mind. Boy, I'm thankful for that. The paradox of the unthinkable, not only the prediction of the unbelievable, there's the paradox of the unthinkable. How could a holy God use a pagan nation more wicked than Judah to bring judgment to Judah? That don't make any sense, does it? I call this the paradox of providence, if you will. God can employ even ungodly instruments to fulfill His righteous end. God is not the author of wickedness. Y'all know that, right? God is not the author of sin. God does not authorize wickedness or employ men to commit sin. There ain't no sin in him, and he can't make no, he doesn't make people sin. That's a choice, a heart problem. That's an issue from your end of the spectrum, not God's. But boy, aren't you glad that God can take the wickedness even of men and weave a canvas for his glory. You say, preacher, what do you mean? That don't even make any sense. God can take the wickedness of men and he can weave a canvas of glory for his honor. That means you can commit a wicked act and God can take that wicked act and he can weave a canvas out of it that nobody even understands. You say, well, how is that, preacher? Explain that to me. I'll show you the power of the unimaginable. Can I say that the ultimate surprise of that very fact is found at Calvary? We understand that Judas, he was driven by greed. The righteous leaders, that Sanhedrin, those religious leaders, that Sanhedrin, the false witnesses, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldier, the mob, and Satan himself. My goodness, what a wicked, wicked mess. If you were to read that without Jesus being in the picture, that would probably be described as one of the greatest tragedies. Wickedness on every side. But what was and what looked like the greatest tragedy became the greatest triumph of all time. So God can take a wicked situation. I'm not just talking about a sick family member. I'm not just talking about a situation that you need God to touch somebody in a special. I'm talking about a wicked situation. I'm talking about a situation that you wouldn't want anybody to even know about. God can take that and he can weave a canvas and straighten things up and fix things in your life and bring glory to himself out of it. You say, preacher, what I'm going through is wicked and it's hard and it's disgusting. God can change it. God can fix it. God can make it something beautiful. Well, then there's this, and I'm done. We'll be done at 12 o'clock. I promise. At some point. A sanctifying work. Listen, it is a sovereign work. God is in control. It's a secret work. You can't see it. And for all intents and purposes, it's hard to understand. It's a surprising work. What God is going to do is going to be a surprise, and you wouldn't even believe it, even if somebody told you, but it's a sanctifying work. What happens to Habakkuk? Through all of this, there's a change in his heart. There's a faith that is strengthened. You know what he said in verse number 4? The theme of the book is not verses 1 through 4. The theme of the book is not the heart of Habakkuk struggling with how God is doing things. That's not the theme of the book. The theme of the book this morning, y'all, is the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk learns that the answer to confusion, now listen, this is powerful. You might need to write this in your Bible. The answer to confusion is not clarity. You say, preacher, what? The answer to confusion, but I'm seeking clarity. I've got this going on over here and this going on over here and these two situations are happening over here and I just need some clarity. Anybody ever heard that before? The answer to confusion is not clarity for the Christian. But it's confidence in God. The answer to confusion in your life is confidence in God. Quit looking for clarity and start trusting in the one who is in control. Because he is. He's in control. But then there's a focus that has shifted. The Bible says this in verse number 20 of chapter number 2. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth... Wait a minute, Habakkuk. Let's go back and read verse number 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, Judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, judgment, wrong judgment proceedeth. Look at verse number 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Hey, there's a focus that Habakkuk has changed. You want to know what would help most of us this morning? Is if we'd change. Amen. That's simple, but it's true. What would help most of us today is if we'd just change. Habakkuk learns this lesson. There's significance behind when God grows our faith through trials. Don't forget that. And there's sanctification that comes because of it. There is a faith that is strengthened. Habakkuk is saying, okay, I trust you, Lord. There's a focus that is shifted. He said, wait a minute, I see somebody in their holy temple. In our text, all he saw was the mess. But in verse 2 in chapter 20, he sees the Lord. He sees a place that there is no violence. There is no wrong judgment. There are no issues. A holy God. And then there's a fellowship that is sweetened. And I want to close with that in chapter number 3. It's very interesting to me. In chapter number 3, the Bible teaches us this. The Bible teaches us, I believe it's verse number 18. I went to Zephaniah there, Brother Ramey. I'm going back. There we go. Zephaniah comes after the book of Habakkuk. Here's what he said in verse 17. There's a fellowship that is sweet that comes out of this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk, boy, that's a bad day. Yet, wait a minute, Habakkuk, you just said that everything was going to fall apart. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places of the chief singer on the stringed instruments. Oh, it sounds a lot like Job. You want to know what Job said? Job said, I lost everything. Job said, everything's bad. Job said, I looked out there and looked up there and looked over there and looked over here and looked back there, and I couldn't find God nowhere. But this one thing I'm sure of, he knows the way that I take. You know what Habakkuk said? In the worst day of your life, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Habakkuk began this book with questioning God. Confused, frustrated, burdened by what seemed like divine injustice. He didn't understand why God allowed the wicked to prosper while God's people were suffering. But listen to this morning. Somewhere between his questions and the conclusion, something changed. The circumstances didn't change, y'all. Right. Circumstances didn't change for Habakkuk. Habakkuk changed. That's what changed in this story. Yes, it wasn't what was going on, but it was the heart of Habakkuk. He went from fear to faith, from problems to praise. He went from this, why God, to I will rejoice in God. I think about this in these verses that I just read in closing. He talks about all the fig tree shall not blossom. There shall be, neither shall there be fruit in the vine, or the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall have no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. He said, yet I will rejoice. This morning, Christian, listen to what I'm telling your heart. Christian life is not found in the absence of trouble, but it's found in the presence of trusting God. Yes. Can I just say this very humbly this morning, that the marriage may not make it. The job may come to a close. The loved one may never get better. The children may never come back to the Lord. Hey, the car might never get fixed, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Because joy don't come from what's happening around us, y'all. It comes from who's living within us. Habakkuk learned that real joy isn't built on circumstance. It's built on Christ. Life is hard. Life is hard to understand. But he ends with a declaration that the Lord God is my strength, he said. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. So I would say this to you this morning in closing, our dear sisters that sang, is it all right if they come and sing that song again? If y'all want to come, get ready to sing that song again. When the vines are empty, listen to me, and the stalls are bare, when the news is bad, when the bills are due, when the doctor says there's nothing that we can do, you can still lift your hand and say, the Lord's my strength. That's the kind of faith that finishes the song after the music stops. That's the kind of praise that makes the enemy nervous. That's the kind of trust that turns the valley into victory. I want you to stand strong, child of God, in these days. Even if the fig doesn't blossom, rejoice anyway. If the vine bears no fruit, praise Him anyway. And if the stalls are empty, just worship anyway. But because of this, you can rejoice, and if you can rejoice in the dark doesn't last forever. It don't. Did you know this? That Paul and Silas prayed at midnight. What if they got mad at 11:59, went to bed? Ruth went in to meet her lover, and at midnight he recognized her. What if she'd have left at 11:59 and said, there ain't no hope? Think about it this morning. You could be 1 minute from everything changing. Stay faithful. Don't look for the God that can fix your situation. Just look for God. Does that make sense to you this morning?